This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. When examining the factors that impact on one's quality of life, several have been cited. A sense of well-being, having meaning and value in your life, and an overall sense of coherence. We'll hear with more on this and how these factors change with age is Dr. Merrill Silverstein, Professor of Sociology and Social Work, and the Marjorie Cantor Professor of Aging Studies at Syracuse University. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So let's begin by helping us understand what we mean when we say sense of coherence. What is that?
Well, sense of coherence is a concept that was developed by Aaron Antonovsky, an Israeli social epidemiologist, who was interested in studying the internal resources that we bring to life when we experience problems and usually health issues that challenge us and allow us to then overcome them in various ways. It comprises three aspects. One is comprehensibility, the ability to understand the world, make sense of it. Another one is manageability, which is our ability to control the world, to have competence, efficacy in our daily lives. And the third is meaningfulness, that is how much satisfaction we derive emotionally in life.
And all of those three together will give you a sense of basically what he considers coherence in your life. Mm-hmm. Well, how does that relate, if at all, to this notion of a purpose in life? Because many times when we talk about satisfaction in life or peacefulness in life or a sense of well-being, we talk about this idea of having purpose. Mm-hmm. How do the two relate to one another?
Well, I think it's a very close relationship. What Antonovsky, I think, pioneered was the idea that you can look at the individual elements of coherence, the three that I just spoke about, which together form a sense of purpose in life, a goal direction that gives one a sense of meaningfulness, an idea that life has a purpose, a goal, even if it's not in your natural lifetime, it could be in generations that extend from you.
Oh, that's interesting. So it can actually go beyond your own life, in a sense.
Absolutely. It's putting yourself in a larger context, whether that's a social context or some other kind of context where your life has meaning and giving to others as you move along.
It's interesting because also that notion of efficacy is always one that I've thought of as being very important, that people have a sense that they matter in the world and that they have, whether they have ultimate control, which none of us have really, over their lives, that in some sense, maybe on a day-to-day basis, they have a sense that what their actions do or their actions are somewhat effective mm-hmm. in terms of relating to the world.
I think that's right. The idea that your actions have consequences for others, but also for yourself, I think that's maybe the important thing with regard to aging, that you can take care of yourself, that you can manage your health in a way that at least minimizes risk. We all know that aging produces a large amount of deficits, a large amount of challenges. In gerontology, we like to say that old age is not for sissies. It's a,
right.
It's a challenging time of life. But if you have that kind of internal resource that you can bring to the situation, that you can solve problems to the extent that you can within the bounds that are possible, you will do better in your life.
What makes it strong? In other words, what allows it to develop unimpeded, or what are the factors that allow this to develop in a strong way in a person?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there are two sets of factors. One you might call stable factors that we have very early in our lives, such as higher education, greater income. And we have things that also change, the second group, which would be declining health, declining function, the increased risk of disease, the loss of loved ones, including parents, including friends, and so on, where our social world maybe narrows quite a bit. And so if we can minimize that or allow older people to take advantage or have more access to resources in the society, we have the potential to minimize the risk of loss of losing sense of coherence.
Right. And we'll talk more about that and about your particular research and what you found in the study that you did. But I'm curious in terms of what you think. You said higher education, but are there other kind of more fundamental factors that would allow it to develop perhaps more strongly? You know, there are other terms that are used, resilience. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of these terms that are thrown about in terms of personal character, determination. What do you think plays the major role in allowing this to develop in a person?
Well, the idea of successful aging is often wrapped around the idea of adaptability. You mentioned resilience. that older people can adjust to the objective deficits that they experience, whether that's taking up an activity that maybe is less demanding, whether that's forming new relationships, or whether that's simply downgrading one's expectations about what's possible. That's the psychosocial element that I think the sense of coherence addresses most directly.
When do you think people have actually, when do you think this sense of coherence, as he talks about it, actually is developed fully? I mean, you know, when we're talking about the whole lifespan, when would you see that as having been developed fully?
Well, as we did a fairly comprehensive search of the literature and found that there's actually very little about how it changes through time, and almost nothing about how it changes through old age into advanced old age. And so that was part of the research that we did on this topic. The thinking on this was that sense of coherence was a stable trait. That is, you developed it relatively young. It was based on your access to education and your ability to kind of train yourself in finding meaning in life, usually as a result of parental training.
Perhaps having a loving family.
A loving family, a social context that could support you. And then we hypothesized that perhaps there's some change that goes on after midlife.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here, along with gerontologist Dr. Meryl Silverstein, and we're talking about how one's sense of meaning and purpose in life can change with age. So your hypothesis, and you just did the perfect segue to what we want to talk about, which is your research. You had a hypothesis that this sense of coherence may change in some way. Tell us about what the hypothesis was and how you tried to determine the answer to that.
Well, given the nature of the concept that it has to do with our ability to cope with the onslaughts of aging, we hypothesized that there would be a decline in sense of coherence as one passed the threshold into advanced old age, from middle age to early old age, and then on to later old age.
What constitutes later old age to you in terms of age numbers?
Well, that's debated in the field, but typically 85 and over is considered the oldest old. It's sometimes called the fourth age. It's sometimes called the frail years. So your risk of having disability and health conditions increases markedly after 85. And so we hypothesized that it would go down with time, but that the absence, perhaps, of deficits, that is, being able to maintain your health to the extent possible, to avoid losses in friends and family, would mitigate that decline.
So what did you do?
Well, what we did is address the question using a unique data set from Sweden, which tracked people from midlife, mid-50s, to really up to 100 years old.
This was already a pre-existing set of data?
This is a pre-existing data set in Sweden that allowed us to look at changing sense of coherence over this lengthy period of time and make some conclusions.
Why did you choose Swedish data? Was it because this was an available data set?
Well, there are several reasons. One is that I've been working in Sweden for the last 15 years.
Oh, okay.
I'm very familiar with Swedish data. And also Swedish data, as well as most Scandinavian data, are very good. They're high quality. They have very little in the way of refusals. They're very accurate. They get information from what's called registries, which are based on the whole population. So it's a very good data set. And this concept was measured longitudinally over four or five different waves of data. And that's rare to have one concept being measured over a long period of time.
So someone had already begun to compile
Yes.
the data on this idea of sense of coherence.
Yes.
Is there something about the Swedish culture that perhaps weighs in on this?
I think so. To generalize, maybe dangerously, but maybe accurately as well, Sweden is characterized as a individualistic society, and that and a non-religious one at that. So that the focus in many of the studies in aging, but in other areas as well, is on the internal resources we bring to the situation, which can be developed over time. Where I think in the U.S. we would maybe have a broader sense of resources, which maybe have to do with religious orientations and other kind of small group faith-based issues and so on. So I guess you could call this a secular version of religious life in some sense.
So what did you find?
Well, what we found, confirming our major hypothesis, there was a what we call an exponential or very rapid decline in sense of coherence as people moved from their 60s to 70s, 80s, and 90s. So it was a very sharp drop-off, especially between the 80s and into the 90s in age.
And in what way did that show itself? In other words, what types of questions were asked? How did that become evident?
Well, we created what we call an index or a scale, which combined those three elements I talked about. This comes from Antonovsky. It's an adaptation of his scale that's been used all over the world in many health settings. So we combined these questions, the responses to these questions, into an index where a higher value meant a stronger sense of coherence. And we were able to then track these people over time and look at the change in their stated sense of coherence as it evolved over those decades.
So a statement might be that they felt less purpose, they had a less sense of meaning in their life?
Yeah, the questions, examples would be, I find meaning in my life. I find I can understand things that happen to me in my life. I feel that I have control over the things that occur to me in life. So it's very closely related to the labels that we give these concepts within the sense of coherence.
But what's interesting, and I've read ahead, so I kind of have the answer here, is that you found something that was also very contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
So that... tell us about that by removing certain factors, you found almost the opposite effect. So help us understand that.
Yeah, this is, it could be considered arcane as a statistical point, but I think it's very important substantively as well. What we found, and we didn't really hypothesize, but having found it, it's understandable, that once we controlled or removed the effects of declining health, of shrinking social networks, of widowhood, the usual deficits that occur in late life, we were able to find that sense of coherence actually increased, and not only increased, but increased quite rapidly through those 80s and 90s, where previously we found a decline. So the conclusion from that would be that if we were able to, let's say, maintain people's health, now this is, we know, not really possible, maintain their health so it doesn't decline. We can minimize decline, which would be helpful. But if we were in this kind of study, the conclusion we would draw is that if we could maintain people's health, stop them from being widowed, and so on, we would actually find that sense of coherence goes up.
Well, obviously, many of those things are not within our control, but I think that it leads us to, it's pause for thought in terms of what aspects of those things could make a difference. So in other words, what conclusions might you draw in terms of how we would, what can we take away from this data in terms of how we age in this country, for example?
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, some things can't be controlled, others can. But what we can control is access to social involvement and social integration of older people, so that if they experience a loss, they can maintain or create new relationships. We can maintain health to a greater degree by intervening earlier in the life course. To have people live healthier lives, engage in healthier behaviors, so that the decline in their health is minimized as they reach these older ages.
Yes, so the things like continuing to remain in social groups or be active in some meaningful way,
mm-hmm,
could in some way mitigate against that sense of loss of coherence.
Right, and this is all considered part of the successful aging formula. That we engage in social relationships, avoid disease, and maintain physical function. Those three things are kind of key in terms of our ability to maintain a successful late old age.
Very helpful and interesting information. Thank you so much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Merrill Silverstein, Professor of Sociology and Social Work and the Marjorie Cantor Professor of Aging Studies at Syracuse University. Once again, thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.